I slept in a lot of different rooms, different beds, but none of them really felt like mine. I spent 14 years in foster care, mostly in group homes. And I never had much left because I always had to be ready to move. Why get things if you just have to let them go?
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a forever family and a permanent home of their own.
Now I have my own room with walls that tell my story. I love hanging out in here. I play dress up with my sisters and I sing and make videos. But the best part, knowing I'll always have a place to go and a family that loves and supports me.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Ken Pittman Show, 1420 WBSM, New Bedford.
There was a story that tried to get some traction regarding the Pentagon and $9 million and lobster tails and prime rib, blah, blah. Until they found out, to their embarrassment, that this is a longstanding tradition to send the troops off with a good meal before deployment. It averaged about $17 a head. And, you know, you saw the figures grow. Through the, you know, the liberal parrots trying to stay in the game. But some of the figures are really funny. And we are now in day 14 of this war with Iran. And the strategy of Iran seems pretty obvious. Don't get killed. And if there's going to be a ground invasion, let the insurgency begin. So I hope Trump doesn't fall into that. It's kind of the same thing that happened with Iraq. You know, they sort of let the tanks roll over them like a grass reed instead of a metal pole so that they could rise again, and that's exactly what they did. And I think Iran's learned some things from that. They're certainly not incapable of any offensive, but they would now be down to insurgent kind of methods, and I think it would be tough for them. The longer this goes, the better for, I think, getting arms to the Iranian people that would like a regime change. That's what has to happen next. You got to fight for your own freedom too. The Americans aren't going to do any of that, I would certainly hope. But the regime is definitely reduced quite a bit. They're not finished. And who knows what else the damage they can do. They're still firing and landing effectively, although a much smaller scale in their neighboring countries where the Americans have bases. 508-996-0500. We did hear from Dan McCarthy from the New Bedford Half Marathon. Glad to have his time, especially today. I was very thankful for that. Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome.
Am I on the air?
You are, sir.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I think the president is sending an amphibious marine unit, like 2,000 troops down there.
Yeah, there's 2,500 Marines on the USS Tripoli. I don't know if that's for the aesthetics for the Iranians to watch, or, you know, because this is all, you know, the Iranians
are... I think eventually to take over that island, Targ Island. Trump bombed the heck out of it. Not the heck out. He bombed a lot of the...
military assets.
Yeah. And left the oil intact. I think he's going to try to take their oil.
He's going to try to leverage a surrender or some sort of financial deal where they peacefully transition away from this regime. I don't think this regime's ever going to agree to it, though.
No, but if he goes in that island, I mean, if he sends troops in there with that amphibious... It's an amphibious unit.
Yep.
Possibly will. I mean, not right away, but it could happen.
I just tend to think that this is what we want them to see. Do you remember the Operation Desert Storm, General Schwarzkopf?
Yeah.
They would. Saddam Hussein would see the Marines practicing an amphibious assault, you know, landing on the beaches, like anticipating there'd be landing on the beaches of Kuwait to push Iraq out of Kuwait. And that's what we wanted Saddam Hussein to see. Instead, we went through the desert directly to Baghdad, which he did not count on. So all of his Iranian guard troops, I'm sorry, his Iraqi elite troops were down in Kuwait ready to take on the Americans. And then they were trapped in that. And we had encircled them and really just slaughtered them on their way back. I just think there's disinformation offered for the sake of the enemy's observations that we have to consider.
Could be. I know this war is a little, especially reporting, because on Desert Storm and the other wars, they had actually reporters on the ground with the troops.
Right.
The Department of War is now allowing it on this one. I go on 2C TV. It's an Iranian, British Iranian.
The second person that mentioned it.
He's actually on there, and he's got a lot of people who, it's pretty reliable. He's pretty ahead of everybody else down there. So you get a lot of information from him. And
how do you spell that again?
2CT, I believe it's TOUSI. He's a British Iranian.
Yep.
His dream is to put a pub in Iran. Get a pub. Yeah.
I like him already. That.
He's got a lot of information. Pretty interesting. If you ever go on YouTube and see that, he's got 1 hour, 2 hours. He's live and pretty reliable.
Yeah, you're the second person that complimented him today. I'm not aware of him, but I will look into him. But you know,
right.
Hopefully, yeah. The Iranian people are the ones who are armed, and whether it's the diaspora that are outside of the country right now waiting to get back in, or those within, or both, they have to do this for themselves.
Yes, they do. And the Iranians, they have the will, but they need a little help as far as ammunition and all that,
right.
You know. The Israel, I said, they would help. So this might be a start. I don't know. They're going to have to do it. It took a year for the mullahs to completely take over Iran.
Bloodbath.
It took them a year to take over.
Yeah, it was a bloodbath. It was a bloodbath. I mean, you're talking about a nation of 90 million people, 2.5 times the size of Texas. It is, no matter who you are, that it is a sizable mission.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And these Iranians, they have a lot of stockpile. I know that we're blowing up a lot of there, but they hide these missiles underneath mosques, schools, hospitals. So you really can't get at it unless, I mean, there's got to be an entrance in and out. But you need to finish them off would be a boots on the ground. This is a religious war. These guys ain't going to give up. They'll kill their own people to stay in power.
They have.
Very difficult.
Yeah, they have. I mean,
yes.
I mean, they've been. They've sent out death squads. But a lot of people don't understand. Since 1979, you know, even up to the 2010s that I'm aware of, they've sent death squads to go kill former Iranian Shah loyalists. You know, anybody they feel is a threat, or you know, whether they felt they owed them one, or you know, they're a threat to come back and take over as a populist. They go out and they kill a lot of people. throughout the world, these Iranian death squads?
Oh, definitely. They have three tier of, they have the IRGC who handles everything. Then they got what they, what we call would be the brown shirts. That handles the interior people. And then they got the police. So they got to get through all these three. It's going to be.
I have been seeing a lot of videos of, you know, there's these spies for the regime that are, you know, standing around their vehicles at night, ready to call in any activity. And, you know, the Mossad is killing them with drones. So that they're, even their individual spies are being picked off now.
Yeah, I mean, it shows you that it's a good thing. That's what they need. It's a start. They have to do their own, but they need help from us.
Well, they learned a lot from the Soviets.
The rest of the world. The
Soviets were very close with the Iranians, and they learned a lot from the Soviets. The Soviets used to have spies in every factory, in every apartment building. Anybody that talked out or spoke against the government, you know, they were dragged away and maybe never seen again or returned, re-educated, we'll say, after severe punishment. And the Iranians do very, very many of the similar things, and we see how much they value their citizens by firing into the crowds indiscriminately, by running them over with military trucks. Any peaceful protesters that dare to show themselves, they're attacked. And we're talking maybe 30 or 40,000, half the population of New Bedford almost.
Oh, easy. They're going to kill. And they probably have killed more now that we don't know about.
Right.
Because they shut off everything over there.
Well, they're doing a culling. Anybody suspected of being part of Mossad or CIA, they have not taken any chances. They've just been killing people in case, if it's close enough, they decided it's safer to kill these people. They're just brutal.
Yeah, I think they need to act fast. Now's the time, instead of just waiting for the U.S. or Israel to, you know, to get in there. I mean, this is their time now.
Many of the launchers that were used can only be used once because as soon as they fire, you know, the AWACS or the satellites pick it up and then they're destroyed within minutes as soon as of firing. So they're really depleted of the majority of the launches. That doesn't mean they don't have other capabilities to launch, you know, serious weapons out of their country.
Yeah, they got that one pain in the ass weapon. It's that drone.
Yeah.
They got thousands of them and it's proven to be a gnat. It's proven to be a pain. Because you can fire them out from anywhere, from a pickup truck.
It is now. It's kind of like what the tank was in World War II, right? It is the biggest problem for winning a war. Now we're gonna have to seriously figure out how to deal with this drone problem. And we're getting some information that maybe officials in California should be worried about them.
Yeah. I mean, they can fire them. You know, I heard a year ago Hezbollah had been down in Mexico, the cartel training them. So
another in Venezuela.
Right, and they're in Mexico with a cartel, so they can be firing these drones. These drones have a 1,500-mile range, 600 to 1,500 mile.
1,500, really?
Fire these, yeah.
I thought it was more like 400. I didn't realize that. Wow.
No, well, I heard yesterday. It was 600 to 1,500, but, you know. You don't know.
I mean, there's drone killing drones. They're learning quickly that we're firing expensive missiles to knock out these $20,000 drones. That we have to change that.
Yeah, I think we have fired them, but I don't think. I mean, we might have done it. I don't think we're gonna spend $3 million missile to knock out a $20,000. I mean, we may, but I don't think it's gonna be an all of them. We have this technology. I think the Ukraine has that too. Supposedly they're already there to fight, to knock off these drones.
Yeah, the Ukrainian officials have actually gone to the Middle East to help these nations defend themselves. But there's also something that's been revealed. The Americans and Israelis have now, they've now shown the laser weapon that has knocked a drone or two out that has been captured on film. There's probably plenty of other. But captured on video, we've seen now Israel and America both use them.
Yeah, it's that. It's like a microwave type of thing. It goes a frequency, and it's supposed to be a knockoff their electronics.
Yeah, this is a laser that just fries the fries.
The laser.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty impressive.
I mean, yes. They I saw the test on that, whether they're using it substantially or what, but yeah, it's going to be a fight.
Yeah, I don't know that we've seen a lot of hypersonic missiles fired from Iran, but even those are susceptible to lasers. You can't go faster than the speed of light, so hopefully they advance that to the point where they render them useless, but that's going to be a while.
Yeah, they need to figure that out, these little gnats that they got flying around, because they do some kind, you know, they have done some damage. Then they're going into a lot of, they fired in the UAE,
yep,
over 1,000 rockets there, yep, more than Israel, like triple.
Yeah, trying to cripple the economy, the world economy. Yeah. Great phone call. Thank you for it. Take care. Carly, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Pittman. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I don't know if you remember this story. This took place back in maybe around 79 or 80 when the U.S. embassy was taken by the Iranians. The Iranians also took and held some Soviet diplomats, too, as well. And the story, I believe it to be true. I kind of researched it a few times. But so the Soviets sent in a guy called Boris the Butcher. Have you ever heard about this? And he did was he captured some of the, quote, some of the people that took over the Soviet embassy, found out who they were, found out relatives of theirs, kidnapped some of their, let's say, nephews maybe, and castrated them and then sent them home for the day. And shortly thereafter that, they released the Soviet, ambassadors. Yeah. Anyways, that was the end of that story.
I wasn't aware of that. But I gotta run for a commercial break. If you want to hold on, I'll let you do that.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Sorry about that. We'll be right back, and we have other calls on hold. We'll get to you right after this.
Stay up to date on the latest news.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBS.
This is Manny Resendiz reminding you to jumpstart your mornings with the Retirement Factory, Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at 10, here on 1420 WBSM.
We are back and going to return our caller to the airwaves. Thanks for waiting, and please continue.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, no, you said continue, so I thought you were talking to the other caller. I'm a new caller.
Okay, well, we lost him. He must have had better. He must have had to do something. Anyway, welcome.
Okay, in regards to Israel and Lebanon, you know, the president over there said that they don't have the means to remove Hezbollah from their country.
I know people who don't really like that regime who are from there and agree with that.
Yeah, but, you know, Lebanon has a strong military. They have around 90,000 soldiers. What they lack is the will. They have the manpower. and they have the power. They don't have the will to remove Hezbollah. And now Hezbollah called up the president of Lebanon and told them not to attack them now because they're too busy fighting Israel. And Hezbollah can't fight two fronts. And here the president of Lebanon is going to oblige them. Dealing with the Middle East is so confusing.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, because they can wipe out, you know, if the Lebanese military were to attack Hezbollah and Israel from the front, Hezbollah is gone tomorrow. They can't tolerate. Even Hezbollah has admitted that. But yet they lack the will. They're not going to do it. And this is going to be left up to Israel. And when Israel goes in there, they're going to do it with bombs. Other people are going to be killed. Whereas if the military from Lebanon goes in there, you could avoid all that. You know what I mean? But these people lack the will to fight, you know?
Yeah, there's been an effort by Israel to get the populations in southern Beirut out of the area where they're planning on attacking. 500,000 people, that's a lot. They've done their best, but they're focused on the Hezbollah positions, and they've been pounding them for, you know, the better part of 10 days now.
Yeah, but the military, they know exactly where Hezbollah's at. They know them by name. They could remove this from their country if they wanted to, but they don't. They want the world to do it for them. They want to sit back in their nice luxury cars, watching TV, and let the world take care of their problem. You know? That's their problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
Could you imagine we having Hezbollah here in Texas, and the United States just sits back and tolerates it?
Well, we have. There's been a guy suspected of Hezbollah activity who just tried to blow up a children's school in Michigan. you know, and there's some sympathizers for him.
Well, you know, you have a lot of crazies out there, you know what I mean? Hopefully, they're not that many, you know what I mean? But I just, you know, I pray for Israel. I support Israel. And I just wish these countries, like right now, Saudi Arabia is refusing to join in the battle. You got all those Muslim countries that are being bombed and are refusing to join. It's just crazy. You know, I feel sorry for President Trump because here he knows that Iran wants to build a nuclear bomb. And they have said that bomb will go to Israel and the United States. What is the president of the United States supposed to do?
Yeah, in the negotiations, was it Witkoff that was with in the negotiations, they bragged that they had enough enriched uranium for 11 nuclear missiles. And this is just days before we began the bombing campaign.
Yeah, and you got, you know, people are complaining, the media, especially the media, that the barrel of oil has jumped to $100 a barrel. Mm-hmm. Well, when Biden was president, it was $139 per barrel.
Yeah.
If you look at the pictures of people paying $5, $6 for gas, the media didn't complain.
The highest I can remember it was when I think President Obama was the president. And, you know, of course, they were pushing the green energies, trying to strangle off the oil supply. But I think I remember $4.65 a gallon for the cheapest gas. That's the highest.
This is what I'm trying to say. But the media was not out there saying, oh, no, we're going to die. We're going to die. Gasoline is going to cost $10 more per tank. And this war is going to take a while because, you know, Alexander the Great, he conquered Persia, right, which is Iran today. And they went into battle and they lost and they surrendered. But these people there, this regime there, they'll die. Like your last caller said, they will kill everybody and themselves in that surrender. You're not dealing with the same people.
Yeah, I think so you're going to have to eliminate those who have no plans to do anything except for continue their ways. You're going to have to eliminate them. You're not going to.
And Iran, right? The people there.
Yeah.
You're going to have to arm them. The last time they took to the streets, The estimate that they shot and killed up to 40,000, imprisoned 50,000, and shot like 9,000 in the eye, because they like to shoot you in the eye. And how is these people going to rise up and fight when they're facing machine guns?
A lot of PTSD in Israel and Iran, because they also have many spies that as soon as you start talking about it, you start looking over your shoulder. Sometimes they're successful in making you disappear if they catch you, and it's a regular occurrence. Their intelligence is heavily invested, and they have a pretty good bead on who's doing what. A lot of people just get dragged into prison and killed, executed, hung on a crane in public. I mean, they do a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, and this is going to be a tough fight. I personally don't think it's going to last a few weeks. I mean, that ship that you were talking about with the 2,500 soldiers are on, that ship is in Japan. That's going to take around 2 weeks to get there.
That's just what they want Iran to know. If they're not going to announce assets that are going to be meaningful as much as they are going to give them something to watch, if you know what I mean. A lot of this is going to be disinformation. There could be other things going on we don't know about. I'm assuming there are.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to do, you know what I mean? Psychological warfare is beautiful.
Well, I would imagine, that weeks ago we put assets in the Straits of Hormuz in Iran for intelligence purposes, and Iran's not unaware of that. They probably assume the same thing. But a lot of the things that are happening are designed for Iran to see on the TV and for us to see, so that certain perceptions are made. Disinformation is very important in war.
Yes, it happened in World War II, did they, right? They confused the hell out of the Germans.
Yeah, they convinced them they were attacking to the north, and that's where the landing was going to be, and they came in on Normandy, right?
Yeah, that's all. You know, but the thing is, people got to understand, if a country is building a nuclear weapon to use it against you, you have to stop them. And people don't seem to understand that. You know what I mean?
In particular, when you have a regime that is a theocratic regime that believes that their God wants them to start the war to end all wars and life on the planet itself, to begin the final days and the judgment day. That's what they believe they're called to do.
Yeah, I just think in World War II, they just say loose lips and ships. I think we have to practice that a little bit, you know what I mean? So you pay $5 or $10 per tank to fill up your tank for a few months. I mean, that's the cost that you're going to pay versus seeing a bomb landing in New York.
Well, it could be $300 a month, which is a lot to people. You know, if they commute every day and they're spending, $60 a week, now you're spending 90. I mean, that times four. I mean, that's a lot.
Well, but I remember when Biden was president and the gas prices were super high, I remember the liberals saying, I don't drive. It's good for the economy. It's good for the environment. You don't need to drive that
much. Use public transportation. Get into electric cars. We don't want you driving. Yeah. I know.
So that'll be the same thing today, right?
Yeah, for different reasons, but yeah. I got to hold you there. Yeah, appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. And you are next on the Ken Pittman Show. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ken.
Hi.
Ken, the only thing I worry about with Trump is that he's got a lot of balls in the air. You know, he's got Colombia, he's got Venezuela, he's got Cuba, talks about Greenland, now he's in the Middle East and everything. And I think what happens if China...
Nigeria?
I didn't even know that one, okay? What happens if all of a sudden China says, hey, we're going to attack Taiwan now? Okay, or the guy in the North Korea says, hey, we're going to do this now. So I just think he's got too many balls in the air. What do you say?
I tend to agree, but I think that the domino effect that is happening, the Trump doctrine knocking down Chinese and Russian allies like Venezuela, like Cuba, like Iran, that's going to greatly diminish their future, if they're converted to being pro-Western, pro-capitalist, members of the Western society. I think that's a win-win. Oh, that's what I think his goal is, and it's very ambitious.
I understand, and in that ambitiousness with all these things that he's got going on, you know, how many balls can he juggle? How many fronts can the United States, you know, deal with? And
how many $4 million missiles can you fire at a $20,000 drone?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So I don't know. I think there should be a little be careful with what you do and where you pick to go.
I
can't be at
all
these places at once.
I agree. In fact, I had spoke with Jeff Beatty. I don't know if you remember him, a former captain in Delta Force. He was wondering now, in retrospect of what's happening in Iran, why Venezuela? Why would we have to do that prior to Iran?
Yeah.
What was the sense of urgency? But anyway, there was not ever going to be a better window of time.
Oh, if he feels that, fine. But just like you in your life, I know you're a very busy guy and stuff, and I realize probably with you, there's only so much you can do. After a while, you're going to say, well, I can't do this, you know?
Because it affects all things. If you do too many things, you're going to lessen everything you're doing.
Exactly. And that's the thing I think about with Trump. I give him credit in a sense because, you know, he's an old guy, and he's got illnesses, I'm sure, as an old guy. And he's everywhere, you know. I don't know when the guy sleeps, to tell you the truth. But
what a motor.
Yeah. But, and again, for that age, okay?
Yeah.
So I just hope that he, you know, would probably be a little standoffish in some of those. Like, to me, there was no, even if he wanted to do it, there was no reason for him to bring to the public the taking over of Greenland. That could have been done quietly, diplomatically.
Yeah, but I think I understand that
over there, you know?
I think I understand that one. I think he was spurring the horse. I really think he just wanted Europe to step up their presence.
Be,
because
and
China and Russia
up.
Definitely had a larger footprint there for some reason. And,
yeah.
And as the world warms, there are going to be waterways that we've never seen before, that where China and Russia can come right over the North Pole, right to our...
Yeah, I agree, but he didn't portray it that way. He portrayed it like it was something for us. He could have said it would be helpful for the whole our hemisphere and Europe as well. He didn't do that, you know?
But consider this. That could have been kabuki theater for the Chinese and Russians to watch, to see some sort of fake, you know, rift between allies. That's a possibility.
Well, to me, the thing that's held Europe together in World War One and World War II and after the war is the United States. And again, they went along with it because we're paying the bill. And, you know, probably saying, hey, it's good for us. And yes, he was right to ask them to pay more of the bill and take more charge of their own defense. No question about it. But again, in the process, I don't. And it could be kabuki theater, but you don't want to alienate them. It's to me, kind of out there in public, you know.
No, and I think what he's doing, asking NATO to put more money into the national defenses, that's going to be better for the American budget, because now, you know, once Europe has enough where Russia doesn't have to worry about the United States, they wouldn't be able to overrun Europe without too much of a cost. That's better for us.
But with NATO and with especially with Europe, okay, and the thing that's made those countries all stick together is that the United States went in there in World War One, made the difference, and World War Two made the difference too over in Europe.
Late to the party or not.
and said, hey, this is what we're going to do. And that's what unified them. Otherwise, they'd be fighting one another as they had all through their histories. Germany against England against France. So the thing that made it now without that leadership, without us being there, they're sort of like a confederation more than a unified organization.
I got an argument on social media with a former British soldier who said we got there way too late in World War One. And I said, well, you have the audacity to say that. I said, this was not our fight, and we lost. Imagine the press and the coverage had we done the same thing. We lost 50,000 men in 500 days.
Oh, yeah. But again, we did make the difference by going on. And I think when we went over there, too, they wanted us to be under their command. And I think Pershing and Joe Wilson said, no. You give us an area, and we'll take care of that. They looked upon our army as cowboys that were fighting the Indians out here. You know, that sort of stuff. We were looked down on. You know, and that you know that we had grown up. That wasn't the case as it turned out. But I think that made the difference. And I believe The Allies never made it into Germany when that whole treaty was signed and everything. And that's what made Hitler get upset and say he got stabbed in the back and all that sort of stuff. But the United States entry made the difference.
It absolutely.
And again,
did.
Back at home, you know, we're trying to follow Washington, stay free of foreign entanglements, you know. And then we had to deal with that first before we could get in there and have reasons. And, you know, we got that with the Lusitania sinking. And then there was the Zimmerman telegram in which the Germans tried to get Mexico to attack us from Mexico, and that kind of broke the impasse. But again, you know, Europe has stood whole because of American leadership, I think, you know. And again, they probably laughed because we're paying a large part of that bill.
Well, I watched the I'll get a couple calls I got to get to, but I'll tell I watched the BBC. Thank you. The BBC was talking about when Trump said their prime minister is not Winston Churchill. You know, they were ashamed. And then a couple of days later, he tried to send an aircraft carrier into the Middle East. And Trump said, well, we don't want your help. The war's already won. I don't like that side of Trump. I mean, I think Britain's definitely an important asset and an ally. We've had some common ground and some common interests. But he kind of embarrassed them there. Because certainly we would expect them. There was, like the way they put it, they were the hand to the hand of the king, Britain, and Israel seems to be that at the moment. Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
Hey, the Lusitania was loaded with ammunition, and the Germans sunk it because it was being used. It was going to be used to fight a war against them. And that truth didn't come out for a long time. Again, I don't see Iranians killing each other to fight for U.S. and Israeli interests in their country. I think whatever differences they might have with that Mullah system, they're going to unite to fight the greatest threat that is coming against them.
You don't think that there's a division in Iran right now?
Not as much as the alliance that is pointed against the U.S. and Israeli aggression against them.
Where?
This war was started on Purim.
Well, right now, it seems the Arab states are galvanized about regime change. I mean, they've been attacked by Iran. It's gotten the opposite effect.
I don't know what you're hearing there. I'm hearing quite the opposite.
Okay.
And again, it's going to be war propaganda. You're going to believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. And
who's telling you that UAE, Bahrain, wouldn't they have asked the Americans to leave if they weren't behind us?
They're kind of asking us to leave.
They're not.
We're attacking bases over there. I mean, Iran is attacking our bases over there. I think our hegemony there in the Middle East, I think that's slowly going to go away.
Which of these states has asked us to leave?
I think the UAE is questioning it. Saudi Arabia is questioning it.
Well, you said they asked us to leave.
Yes. They're like, hey, man, we're tired of being, you can't protect us. You said our bases were going to be here, and you could protect us, and we're not being protected. They took out a missile weapons deterrent system out of South Korea, and they're bringing it to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you remember that girl? I think it was the first Bush war against Iraq, when she came and she claimed that Iraqi soldiers were throwing babies out of incubators.
No.
She came and testified in front of Congress, and that turned out to be a big, big lie. And with the way they can manipulate videos, they can put something right in our face and it can be totally fake.
Well, are you saying there was no atrocities committed by the Iraqis in Kuwait?
I'm saying that girl that came and testified, it was a complete lie. She was a member of the Kuwaiti royal family, and it was proven that she lied about it.
I'm not aware of that, but I can tell you that they documented like a lot of rapes, a lot of murders, slaughtering Kuwaiti citizens. There was no question that stuff happened. So I can't speak to that, whatever it is you're talking about.
It's all on document. She came in front and talked in front of Congress.
No, I believe you. I do. I just don't, you know, I can't put that on the scale and say that outweighs what they actually did, though.
More wars in the Middle East. That's what it all boils down to. And this war was started on a Purim. And I think it was Israel that bombed that girl's school. Now, in the book of Esther, Purim was a war against Iran. And Purim this year was celebrated in early March, and this war started on Purim. Ken, there are Jewish fanatic beliefs that believe it's their destiny.
Wars in the Middle East traditionally start this time of year for whatever reason. I mean, look at Operation Desert Storm, March. Look at Operation Enduring Freedom, March 10th, I think, March 12th, 2003.
Purim usually starts around that time.
Yeah, but
now,
but you know, you do remember that the world, including Saudi Arabia and all the Arab states, begged George H.W. Bush to get Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait.
After telling him he can go right in. Colin Powell said that in his book, where he sent an ambassador over to tell Saddam Hussein, this isn't our battle, dude. They're slant drilling, because he claimed they were slant drilling into Iraq. And April Glassby, Colin Powell says this in his book, sent her over there to tell Saddam, dude, you settle that stuff. Where he could have told Saddam, don't do anything.
He went too far.
You go in there, you're going to face our wrath.
I remember that. He went way too far with the murder of God knows how many Kuwaitis at the time. But then the whole world sentiment changed. I mean, every state in the world outside of Iraq was on board, except for Russia.
Yeah, but I'm telling you that Saddam was told, it's okay, settle it. Settle it your way. But then all of a sudden, Bush comes on. They have all these things planned, Ken. And like I said, you don't think there's Jewish fundamentalism? There is in their religion. You can see a video of Menachem Schneerson talking to Netanyahu back in the late 90s about bringing back the Mossadegh, and that Netanyahu needs to do something to bring back Mossadegh. So it's not only on the Muslim side.
I'm not suggesting it is, but a lot of it is.
A lot of it's on the Jewish side, too. And I'm not blaming all followers of Judaism, because I know some wonderful followers of Judaism, but there's a psychosis in a Zionism, thinking you can bring back a biblical nation and everything with fake people that aren't the Hebrew Israelites or the Judahites, and thinking everything's going to be okay. And Trump is being guided by some idiots. Have you seen the White House faith office leader, Paula White? Have you seen that woman in the false doctrine that she espoused? She's married to Jonathan Cain. In one of her family preaching things, she's up on stage with Cain, and she's a preacher, and they're talking about watching porno with your wife to upgrade your sex life. This woman claims to be a pastor.
Yeah, I don't. I'm a Roman Catholic. I listen to the Roman Catholic faith. Everybody else can have their own opinions. I don't.
Dude,
I would agree with you. That's a little nutty. I got to hold you there, though.
This video.
I appreciate your call. Thank you. You're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air. Caller?
Yeah, I can't hear you.
Yeah, you're on the air. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Why do you entertain this guy?
I take all calls.
You do. But this guy, he seems like he's educated, but he's not. I don't know what it is. He aggravates me every time.
I think he subscribes to things I don't. But I don't want to silence him.
No, I agree with you, actually. I actually met you a long time ago. You seem like a nice man, and that's why I listened to the show.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I wouldn't be fair just to let people who agree with me speak. I think the audience wants different viewpoints. 508-996-0500. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to wrap it up. Ryan's here with me. We'll talk a little bit more about NFL free agency real quickly before we head out.
To date on the latest news.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBS.
Hello, New Bedford. This is Manny Resendiz. Tune in with the Retirement Factory so you can retire right. Saturday mornings at 6 and Sundays at 10 on 1420 WBSM.
All right, let's get the last caller. Oh, who's gone? He's gone. Ryan, I want to wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day. And
you too, Ken.
And I know you're going to do a great job, as always, with the half marathon tomorrow. And that's it. So I'll play Danny Boy, sung by Johnny Cash. A song about a father telling his son he's off to war and probably going to die. So come and find his grave. It's a great traditional Irish song. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all who celebrate. Be safe. We'll talk next week.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses fallen. It's you, must go and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so. But if you come and all the flowers are dying, and I am dead, as dead I will may be, you'll come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. And I will know, though soft he tread above me, and then my grave will richer, sweeter be. And you'll bend down and tell me that you love me, and I will rest in peace until you come to me.
Ken Pittman Show on 1420 WBSM. WBSM and W258DR, New Bedford, a Town Square media station.